Christmas season is always a time of gift-giving, and by now I'm sure some of you have returned some of your gifts. Maybe you re-gifted them. Maybe they've lost their flair and at the bottom of a toy box, or perhaps even they're broken, not even usable so much. But nevertheless, they say it's the thought that counts and so on. But there are those very special gifts, gifts that mean much more than just the physical thing, gifts that really represent the love of someone else, gifts that we cherish in love. For instance, I think of a couple in the parish that became engaged on Christmas. Isn't that engagement ring going to be a beautiful gift that means much more than the value of the ring itself? Or perhaps some of you who are parents received a little homemade gift from your children. I remember making, when I was in kindergarten, a little plaster of Paris handprint for my mom in kindergarten class. Still has it to this day. So the value is much more than the actual thing itself. Or I think, too, of one of my favorite little gifts that's from my grandmother. And when I was born in 1957, she was visiting my uncle, who was an army doctor stationed in Stuttgart, and she bought this little music box for me with a little nativity scene. It even plays Silent Night, which is nice. Well, Grandma gave this to me when I was 17, when I was old enough to appreciate it, but it means much more than just this little music box, considering that she is my only grandparent, my mom's mom. So some gifts have incredible love attached to them. And so it is with the feast we celebrate today, the Feast of the Epiphany. Here, these magi, three kings, three wise men, we call them different names, saw this star, and they knew God was giving them a gift, not just them, but to the whole world, that God was intervening in this very world. So they set out on their journey. Yes, we do call them the wise men, but they're wise enough to know they didn't know everything. And we call them the three kings because of their precious gifts. But they were humble enough to bow before Almighty God. The gospel, though, uses the term magi, the singular magoi. It did describe a wise man. Now, a little history. Back in the time of the Babylonian captivity, about 600 years before our Lord, Daniel, the great prophet, was the magoi of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel could interpret the dreams and so on. So these magi must have been very learned. Archaeologists say they're cuneiform tablets that say there was a sighting of a star unlike any other at this time. There was an observatory, an astronomy observatory, at the town of Sippur in Babylon, what would today be the area of Iraq. So probably, put it all together, they went. And they made this journey. It wasn't an easy journey. We can imagine the hardships. Perhaps there were times of doubt when they thought, where are we going? Why don't we turn back? And so on. But they kept searching. And eventually, they found Bethlehem. Eventually, they found our little Lord Jesus. In the gospel, it says, they entered. There's total silence. They fell prostrate, giving homage to God. They did present their gifts. So tradition holds the magi that we call Melchior presented the gift of gold for the king, and then Caspar presented the gift of frankincense, the gift for a priest, and Belteshazzar, the one of dark skin, presented the gift of myrrh, the burial ointment for someone who would die. So they left then after presenting their gifts. But they knew that they had received something even greater, the gift of God's love. And that is a gift that they always cherished. When they went back, the gospel says they went by a different route, meaning their whole lives had changed. They kept that gift of love and they cherished it each day of their lives. Now, an ancient medieval manuscript tells us about something that occurred later. It reads, having undergone many trials and fatigues for the gospel, the three magi met in Sebaste in Armenia in the year of our Lord 54 to celebrate the feast of Christmas. Thereupon, after the celebration of Mass, they died over the course of 3 weeks. Well, their relics have been preserved, first at Constantinople, then with the Muslim invasion, the relics were taken to Cologne, Germany, where they're still kept in the beautiful cathedral. But for us, what an important lesson this is. As we think of our Christmas celebration and the Christmas season that we are still in, we've received such a tremendous gift, the gift of our Savior. We've received the gift of faith, and we need to cherish this gift and make sure that it's alive in our hearts. The word epiphany means to awaken, to make manifest. Well, this has been manifested to us, the gift of our Savior. But we have to stay awake and cherish that gift in love. So each day, and this is important as we are just beginning our new year, each day present your gift of gold, the gift for a king. Christ is our king, which means then he has to rule our lives. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So his truth is what needs to govern our lives, because only then will we have right relationships with God, with ourselves, and with each other. And only when we have right relationships by truth will there be justice, and then only then will there be peace, whether it is in our own soul, or our home, marriage, neighborhood, or even the world. Only when Christ's truth rules. So consider this year growing more aware, awake to his truth. I encourage you, spend some time each day to study. And so we have two little rule books of truth, the Bible. Read one chapter of the New Testament. Start with the Gospels. You'll cover it in a year. Read 2 pages of the Catechism. You'll cover it in a year. 2 rule books of truth. If we live by what's in here, these 2 sources of truth, we'll find peace in our lives because we will live life rightly in the eyes of God. Maybe if you don't read the whole Catechism, we all have those little topics that maybe we're confused about, maybe wrestle with, maybe have doubts over. Search. Never stop searching for the truth. St. John of the Cross, the great mystic of the 1500s, said that our searching for the truth and the deep meaning of our faith is like going into a gold mine. And we go into this gold mine and we see this rich vein of gold and we dig and we extract and we try to take it. But as soon as we are finished with one vein, we see another. But in all, we get deeper and deeper in the life of God. What a beautiful friendship that will bring. Just like we grow in a friendship because of our knowledge, our shared life. Same thing here. For some of you parents who have kids in religious ed, a good way for you to learn the faith is by teaching your kids. Read what they read, teach them, help them. What a beautiful way to grow in your own faith. Secondly, we have to give the gift of frankincense, that gift for a priest. So being a priestly people, pray each day. That's important. If you're here for New Year's, you heard me say, pray the rosary every day because we meditate on the different actions, aspects of our Lord's life. And we do so through the eyes of Mary, as blessed Pope John Paul II said. By that meditation in prayer, we're going to grow deeper in our love. I encourage you too, when you're here at Mass, really make it an act of worship. Put your whole self into it. It's not always easy. All of us fight distraction. But make sure Mass is really a celebration of God. Really, pay attention to the words. Pray the prayers. Sing the hymns. Be attentive to the Mass. And on Thursdays, take time to come by here when we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, to be in the quiet presence of our Lord, who is truly present in the Holy Eucharist, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. If we open ourselves up in prayer, offering that gift of frankincense, our lives will take on a beautiful odor in the good sense, just like incense has a beautiful odor. And then lastly, it's that gift of myrrh, that gift of sacrifice. While we make our regular confessions, hopefully, we need to do penances, acts of mortification. So this could be a little giving up of something on a daily routine just for some good intention. Fridays could be a day of abstinence, as they used to be, or a day of some kind of sacrifice, whether for the atonement of our sins or for the needs of someone else or the poor souls in purgatory. Of course, there can always be those other good deeds of sacrifice where we give of ourselves. I think, for instance, of my mom, who's 87, lives by herself still in Springfield. And we had a little boy in the neighborhood whose name Will, great name for a person, Will. And so he's been there since he's like 3 years old. But once he became older, every time it snows, even this past Thursday, every time it snows, he just shows up and he shovels the driveway, the walkway, and so on. Sometimes his dad helps him or his older brother, but he's there. Doesn't ask, doesn't expect any money, doesn't ask for any money, refuses any money. Just a good act of sacrifice. And so things to think about. But when we put it all together, if we're really cherishing the gift that Christ has given to us, and we're making these gifts of ourself to Him, we will shine like a light, a bright star in our world. But it won't be easy. The search and the journey is not easy. Because just like our gospel has King Herod, we'll face King Herods. King Herod was a wicked king, paranoid for power. He had his own wife, his mother-in-law, two sons killed because he considered them threats. If we went one more verse in the gospel, he orders the slaughter of the little innocents, the boys 2 years old and younger, because he wants to kill Jesus. Well, there are people like that. They would like to kill Jesus. They'd like to take him out of our lives in a very broad sense, like the public sphere, but they'd like to kill him in our souls too. We could allow that to happen. There will be those people who will say, oh, I'll be your friend, but you're going to have to swear, do drugs, drink alcohol underage, sneak out of your house without your parents knowing it, cheat and lie for me, sleep with me and so on, and I'll be your friend. And when your life is totally decimated by that, where's your friend then? Herod flees. It's all about himself. Young people, watch out for the King Herods. They're all around. And oh yes, they'll give you all the nice little kind words, the idea of friendship and popularity. But in the very end, think ahead. This is going to lead me to destruction. And whether it's not your bodily life, it might well be your reputation, and it may well be your soul. But then, too, there's another problem, and those are the scribes and the chief priests. Have you ever wondered about them? Here the three kings arrive, and these scribes can rattle off the prophecies. Oh, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem, so on and so forth, so forth. Why didn't they go? Here the Jewish people have been awaiting a Messiah. Why didn't they go? Why didn't they say, we'll come with you. We've been waiting for this. Oh, ho-hum, apathetic. And maybe that can happen within our own church at times. People of faith can become apathetic. And that can wear on us when we have people, maybe people in our own families, who say, oh, I'm not going to go to Mass. I don't have time for that. I'm too tired, and so on. Oh, it's not a sin. Oh, I'm a Catholic. I'm a good person, but I don't believe in this, and I don't believe that. The Pope's wrong, and so on. Or this church is wrong, and this is that, and so on and so forth. Or even they come to Mass and chronically late, chronically leaving Mass early because, oh, Jesus, I'm done with you. Enough of this, and so on. That wears on us. It can really dishearten a person. I remember in college, my freshman year, I was in a dorm. There were 10 Catholics on my dorm floor. I was one, of course. 9 of them went to Catholic high school. I did not. I was the only kid that went to Mass on Sunday. That wasn't easy, because it would have been very tempting to give in and say, I'll sleep in too. So what? Everyone else doesn't care. Why should I? Don't let it happen. Those chief priests and scribes missed out on a great gift of love. Don't let those who are apathetic, even those in your church, those in your family, take away the gift that Christ has given to you. So my brothers and sisters, the Epiphany gives us an important lesson of life. This year, we start a search again, a search for our Lord. Let us look for Him and take the time each day to awaken ourselves to His presence, to offer our gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then you and I will shine like the stars and lead others to Christ. May God bless you.